Up to John chapter 7, the Gospel of John. We continue our study. I'll move away from this study next week to do a study on how to pray for our deacons. But today we'll look at John chapter 7, and our focus will be verse 14 through 24. Just a quick reminder for those who've not been able to be with us last week, Jesus, in chapter 7, the Jews are seeking to kill Jesus. The Jewish leaders were seeking to kill Jesus. Things have turned on Jesus. He had just fed the 5,000. He said some things they didn't like. He disappointed them politically. He disappointed them when it came to their physical needs. And he disappointed them in regards to their what they thought they need religiously. And because of their disappointment, they all turn away from him. In fact, the Jewish leaders want to eliminate him completely. And Jesus is kind of lingering in Galilee, and his brothers, his four brothers, we believe, said to him, "Hey, why don't you go to Jerusalem for this Feast of the Booths?" This is one of three feasts, this Feast of the Booths that all the Jews were going back to Jerusalem for. And show them some more of your stuff, Jesus. Show them your miracles. Show them how great you are. And that's the place where your kingship will come. And so Jesus said, "My time's not here." And so they went as they were supposed to go to the Feast of the Booths. But Jesus lingered, and then he eventually showed up. Again, the Feast of the Booths was one of three pilgrimages where the Jews would be required to journey to Jerusalem in order to celebrate this particular feast. This was one that was a very happy feast, a celebration, a long celebration, celebrating God's provisions, his complete provisions for them of harvest. And it was also a time to pray for a rainy season. We know what that looks like. We've been praying for that for several months now, for God to send us rain. But it was one of the feasts that we don't talk about as much, and they call it the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles because the people would build these tents, and they would stay in the tents that week, these little booths, to remember, to recall God's freeing them from captivity and leading them into and providing for them as they journeyed in the land. And so we looked at last week the drama that was unfolding, which was that his own brothers, not only did the Jewish leaders turn against him, not only did all the people who were following him and they got disappointed in him disappear on him, his own brothers didn't believe in him. And the ones that grew up with him and saw him obey his parents perfectly, the ones who saw his miracles and saw all these miracles we don't even have recorded for us, they saw his perfect obedience. They were following him. Even they did not believe in him. And one of the warnings for us is that we can think we're following Jesus. We can think that we're in close proximity to Jesus and totally be lost. And so that's a sobering thought. During this feast, they would sing or they would often quote Isaiah 12. Which reads like this, listen carefully. "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted.'" They would do this during this feast. It said, listen to this last part. "Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing of joy, O inhabitants of Zion." And listen to this. "For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." So think about this. They're tabernacling here, the Feast of the Tabernacles. They got these tents that represent the presence of the Lord, and they're missing the Holy One of Israel who's in their midst. And they're even saying this verse, and they're missing it. And so that's a warning to us as we look at John. John said, "I wrote these things so that you will believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that you will have salvation in him." And yet these people, so many of them, didn't get it. What a thought that is. Look at all of us here today. How many of us are sitting here as lost can be? We don't see Jesus for who he truly is. I titled the sermon, More About Jesus. And I hope that's your heart's desire. I hope that's what the helper is helping you to do, is I want to know Jesus more. I don't want Jesus to be what I want him to be so that I can be disappointed in him. I want Jesus to be who he is. so that I can know him and be strengthened by that. And according to John, to come to salvation through. So let's look at the passage today. That was a long intro, but hope it benefits you. Verse 14. So his brother said, hey, you got to go to Jerusalem to this feast. There's going to be a lot of people there. Do your thing, Jesus, and everybody will make you king. And he said, I ain't going to do that. But he did eventually go. He says, about the middle of the feast, Jesus, verse 14, went up into the temple and began teaching. And the Jews there marveled, saying, how is it that this man has learning when he has never studied? So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? And the crowd answered, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? And Jesus answered them, I did one work, and you all marveled at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment. Pray with me. Father in heaven, this morning we ask you to show us more and more of Christ through your Holy Spirit. Lord, as the Holy Spirit moved in John to write these things, these specific things, may your Holy Spirit move in us to understand your word. Teach us more of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember your teachers growing up? Some of you younger kids, you probably can maybe list them all. First grade, Miss Hunley, Chester, South Carolina. First spanking I ever got in school was Miss Hunley. She was tough. Second grade, Miss Britton. Oh, she was beautiful. Miss Britton. Second grade, I had a crush on a teacher. And that's why I'm a Clemson fan today. I grew up in a house full of Gamecocks, and Miss Britton was a Clemson graduate. And she was so beautiful. And I asked Clemson in my heart, second grade. Third grade, Miss Hall. All A's. David Hart Sanders. Straight A's. Didn't do any work at all. We just played, and she gave us all A's. Loved her. Fourth grade, Miss Batson. She realized how far behind I was because of Miss Hall. And she had a talk with my parents and said, we're going to have to fix this. Went to Burlington, North Carolina. That was my time in Chester. I remember Miss Bryant and Miss Ellis in Burlington. They taught this class of 60 students together. And they made me go to summer school because of Miss Hall. In sixth grade, I had this wonderful teacher who really delighted in us, Miss Gaylord. And she was just a beautiful woman inside and out. And she just was so kind and delighted in us. And I have good memories of her. Mr. Sturdivant, he'd hit that ruler on the desk if you fell asleep. Coach Thornburg, he taught me some classes and taught me football. I remember him. Ninth grade, Miss Sales, Miss Galloway, Miss Ellenberg, all pretty. That's about as far as I could remember. I could remember all of that point, and then I can't remember my teachers after that. But what teachers do you remember? What were your thought of your teachers? And here, Jesus, we see that he's come in there, and it says in verse 14, it says that Jesus went up to the temple and he began teaching. And the Jews therefore marveled at him. He kind of went there kind of low scale. It wasn't his time. He said, it's not my time. And they marveled at him. They marveled at this Galilean who all they could see was a Galilean. They didn't see Jesus for who he really was. And he made a lot of claims. We'll talk about that. But this wasn't like a teacher that would teach you grammar and stuff. He was teaching the word of the Lord. I asked you what teachers you remember. What are some of your favorite Bible teachers? Maybe Dr. Gordon Reed. Maybe some of you would say Paul Sanders was one of your favorite Bible teachers. Maybe one of the pastors that you've come across online that you really love. Well, here Jesus stands up, and John doesn't tell us what he says. He doesn't say what he talks about completely. He doesn't say why he stood up. He doesn't tell us all that he taught. He just told us a little bit of what he taught. But he starts to teach, and they marvel at him. Now, that marvel could mean that they were impressed, that here's this unlearned Galilean up here. He didn't mention, one thing that they would do when they would teach in the synagogues is they would mention the rabbis who trained them. Kind of like sometimes you hear a preacher quote R.C. Sproul, or they'll quote somebody from the pulpit. You can see that they've been impacted by different professors or different people of theology. And that was typical back then with the rabbis. They would get up, these teachers would get up, and they would give credit to these rabbis. And they did that for several reasons. They did that to let them know what kind of training they had, kind of their degree up there on the top of the bookshelf or up on your wall. But they also wanted to know that they were true with tradition. They were well trained in the traditions, not just the word of God, but the traditions of these rabbis. And we see Jesus teaching several times up to this point. He would speak to the crowds, and the one time that he taught them that he was the bread of life, they all kind of like, this doesn't make sense. I don't want this teacher. They didn't think highly of him. But here they're marveling at him. And we would think that based on what we know of Jesus, based on all his teaching, that while Jesus taught, what they were amazed at was, how does this man who doesn't, none of us know who he is, none of us have trained him, none of us spiritual leaders have trained him, and he knows God's word so well. I mean, we see that all throughout Jesus' ministry. When he does a Sermon on the Mount, or when he's speaking on any issue, he's referring to the law. He refers to the Old Testament all throughout his. You see, Jesus has a high view of God's word. We learned in chapter 6 that, and I said this already, and I'll just say it briefly again, that they thought his teaching at times was hard, and at times they were disappointed that he said things that they didn't want him. They wanted him to say he was the king and he was coming to restore order against Rome, and they were all just disappointed, and they saw his mighty miracles. That's why they were drawn to him, but the miracles didn't save them. They saw all these miracles. Some of y'all think, man, if I could see those miracles, then I would really put my trust in Jesus. They didn't. They saw all these miracles, and they didn't put their trust in Jesus. Not one of them at that time. They all were turning on them. Even his disciples didn't get it. And they marveled at him. Some would say that marveling was more of, well, who is this guy getting up here speaking? And we don't know. I mean, yeah, he knows the scriptures, and but what authority does he have? What authority is he speaking from? See, Jesus looked to them on the outward as just an ordinary Galilean. But Jesus made some strong claims, didn't he? We didn't hit on all this in our study of John so far, but I want you to bear with me a moment. Here's this man. Have you ever heard a man make the claim that Jesus did, that he came down from heaven? Have you ever heard somebody say that? That was one of Jesus' claims, that he came down from heaven, that he eternally existed. He didn't just happen when he was born. He always was, always is. That he'd been sent in the world by his Father. We see that in the earlier text that we've gone through. He claimed to be the Savior of the world. In fact, John is saying he's the Savior of the world. I wrote these things that you would believe in the Savior. And that not only he was a Savior of the world, he is the only Savior of the world. That he himself decides your eternal destination. That's the claim of Christ, this Galilean. That he is the only source of everlasting life, the only way to God. That was his claims. That he had the right to be honored and worshipped. That was Jesus' claims. That he was one with the Father. Not just sent by him, but he was one with the Father. That he had the power to give life and even to raise the dead. And he even made the claim that he would raise himself from the dead. That he's the supreme judge of all men was one of his claims. That he would do this judgment at his return. That he was without sin. That was a claim of Jesus. That he had all authority in heaven and on earth was given to him. That he was the forgiver of sins. I mean, the list goes on and on about these claims. And here Jesus comes in and they're looking for, hey, who taught you? Who's the reason why you know the scripture so well? And how do we know we want to receive it? See, he made all these claims, but listen carefully. I think you see this earlier in the text that we talked about last week, and you see it all throughout this passage. But this one who makes these great claims is modeled all throughout his life, and you see it in this text as well, when he says in verse 6, Jesus said to them, when they said, hey, won't you go and do your miracles there and get them to follow you, he said, my time has not yet come. In verse 8, he says, you go up to the feast. I am not going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully arrived. Even when he gets into answering them about them being marveled at his teaching, he says, if anyone is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. He speaks of Jesus several times in this text that he sent me, that I have been sent by the Father. Now, take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 4. I'm going to do this on my phone for the sake of time. John chapter 4, verse 34. Listen to what Jesus says here. Here's the one who claims to be the Savior. He says in verse 44, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Okay? That we had a sermon on that. Now go to John 5. Go to John 5, verse 30. Listen to what our Savior says, the one with all these great claims. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And one more verse. Go to John 6. One more chapter over. John 6. Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You see that term sent me used several times in this 14 through 24. He says in verse 38, he says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I mean, here is this one who claims to be sent from heaven, who claims he's eternally existed, who John himself says he's the one of salvation. He is God in flesh. John was the one who attributed him in John chapter. John was the one in John chapter 1 that says, in the beginning was God. God was with the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh. He's saying that Jesus is God. Yet we see the second person of the Godhead do what? I've come to obey my Father. I've come to do the will of my Father. I've not just come to do that. I've come to speak what he has need to speak. There's an emphasis here, not only in the second person's role of the Godhead, but there's an emphasis here on him, the man, Jesus the man. He's saying, I will obey the Father. Now what's so amazing about that? Well, you see that he's equal with God, that he created all things, that he's all the stuff that we've learned so far, and yet he is fully submissive and fully obedient to God the Father. Why is that so important? Why is that so important? Because our Savior came to obey all the commandments, to save us who don't obey the commandments. Jesus came in the flesh, submitted himself to the flesh, came down from heaven to the earth. He descended, and he came here for the purpose to obey all of God's commands. It's amazing. It's amazing. When my friend Bill Pierce passed away, there were so many things that we could see in his life that bore testimony that he belonged to Jesus. And one of those things was that it mattered to Bill Pierce what God says. And it was his desire that he did not do perfectly. It was his desire that when you spoke to him God's word, he would attune him, align himself with obedience to God's word. So if repentance was needed, he'd repent. If all glory was given to Christ. And all he's doing is bearing the fruit of one who knows Christ Jesus, who is bearing obedience. If you ever struggle to obey God's word, remember your Savior. Remember his perfect obedience as a child. Remember his perfect obedience in his teen years. Remember his perfect obedience and how that obedience, if he messed up, if he sinned one time and disobeyed the will of the Father, you would have no eternal hope. No eternal hope. For a sinner would have to die for his sin, but the perfect righteous Lamb of God has been placed on this earth to obey the Father. And you see that thing. I want to emphasize, there's so many different things that we can glean from this text, but I want to emphasize to you this morning the obedience of Christ. And that's why he's now going to this feast midweek. And that's why he's standing up and teaching. We don't know what stirred him. We don't know if they were talking about the Feast of the Booths wrong. And he said, no, let me tell you what it's all about. We don't know if he saw them teaching some other heresy and he stood up and spoke truth. We don't know the details of that. But as they marveled at his teaching, their response to him was, where did this guy learn this stuff? Where did he get this? And Jesus answers him. Look in verse 14. My teaching is not mine, but he who sent me. And look at verse 17. If anyone's will is to do God's will, if anyone's will is to obey God, then he will know whether this teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. See, Jesus is not mincing words here. So he's saying, listen, if you care about obeying God, then you'd get this. You'd get where I got this from. See, what the teachers had done, and this is what I hope you pray that I don't do this as a preacher of this church, but what the teachers had done is they'd taken God's word and they made it their word to make it whatever they wanted to be, to apply it however they wanted to apply it. And obeying God was the furthest thing from them. It was all about power and money and comfort and fame and pleasure. That's why they wanted to kill Jesus. Because Jesus was revealing it. That's why Jesus said they'll hate me. We learned last week one of the dramas of the pact was not just his brothers not believing in them, but he said to them, he says in chapter 7, he says in verse 6 or verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. You see why they want to kill him? They want to kill him because Jesus says, I will expose their sin. I will expose their wickedness. That's why they want to kill me. And there was a lot of wickedness going on in the in the temple. We think of Jesus as the merciful, loving, gracious when he is all those things, and we'd have no hope if he wasn't. But he is exposing their sin, and they hate him for it. They're not going to be teachable to it. They hate him for it. How are you when your sin is exposed by the word of God? How are you when your disbelief is exposed? How are you when your sin is exposed? He says they hated him. He said they hate me because I expose sin. And that's exactly what he does in this text. He exposes their sin. Because we know earlier in John, we heard that Jesus healed the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. I guess that little pool area that we talked about. And he heals them there on the Sabbath. And instead of marveling at what Jesus had done, the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders, said, he healed on the Lord's day. And we know that's not good. And we're going to get him on those charges. And he brings that up in this text. Look, verse 19, he says, has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? The crowd answered, you have a demon. No, who's trying to kill you is what they're saying. You have a demon. Who's seeking to kill you? And Jesus answered, I did one work and you all marveled at it. He's talking about the healing that man. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? See, Jesus is exposing their sin. He's saying, look, those who obey the Lord, those who have been transformed, they will know that I'm sent from the Father. They will know that what I speak is the Word of God. They will know that I am God in flesh and that I am obeying the Father, the first person of the Godhead, for the sake of their salvation. But he said, y'all do this on the Lord's Day, and it's okay according to you. I heal a man wholly on the Lord's Day. You say, I'm breaking the law. He's exposing their sin. You know what they did in response to this? They didn't repent. They didn't grieve it. They became more resolved. In our time here this morning, I hope you see the beauty of the obedience of the Son. To not only do the will of the Father, to obey all His commands, to value all His commands. I mean, you think about, why did Jesus have to be baptized? He never sinned, yet He was baptized. Why did Jesus have to go through all these things? Because His goal was to obey the one who sent Him, to fulfill all His commandments perfectly. He even had Pilate say, this man's done nothing wrong. He even went to the cross, sinless. He didn't deserve the punishment of our sins. There was no reason why He should die on the cross. He'd done nothing wrong. He was perfect. He was God in flesh. Why would He go to the cross? He went to the cross as the obedient one. He went to cross as the one who came to do the will of the one who sent Him. See, all those claims that Jesus made are true about Him, but yet He took the submissive role. You think of that wonderful passage in Philippians 2, where it speaks of Him making Himself a servant in order to save. Jesus said, you can tell that what I say is true because I've sent from God. Because I teach what God's truth is. I don't twist it. And I do it for His glory. See, we have a great model in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A great model to know of what the work is that God is doing in us spiritually once we come to know Jesus Christ. We're not to just get saved and put our little ticket into heaven in our pocket and just keep living like the world lives. The Holy Spirit's not going to allow us to do that. He's not going to allow you to do that. He's going to move in you to be obedient to the Word of God. Not perfectly. Please don't leave here thinking I'm saying perfectly. He's going to move in us to be obedient to God's Word. To care what He has to say. To bear the fruit of being more and more like Christ Jesus. I read to the kids, you know, a portion from John. I could have took them to 1 John and the same book you've heard me say, John said, when he wrote the Gospel of John, he said, I wrote these things that you may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you might be saved. In 1 John, he said, I wrote these things so that you can know that you're saved. And one of the things he said you can know you're saved, he said, you're going to care about God's commands. They're going to mean something to you. You're going to be bent to obeying them. You're not going to be perfect obeying them, but that's going to be your bent whenever confronted with it. The second thing he said is you're going to love one another. You're going to love as Christ has loved you. You're not going to have people you hate in your life. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit does not work in you hate towards someone else. You're going to believe in the truth. The first one I should start with, you're going to believe that Jesus is who He says He is in His claims. Let me close with this. And I'm really going to close. What we see in this text today, and we could have gone different routes, but we see that Jesus is doing the will of the Father. Jesus is being the perfect obeyer for the sake of our salvation. Jesus is teaching the perfect truth for our salvation. And Jesus is putting the glory upon the Father. And the Father does the same for Christ, and so does the Holy Spirit, where he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for our Savior, and I pray that this morning we have grown a little bit more in our understanding of who he is, the perfect obeyer, and the one who taught what you sent him to teach, Father. And Father, we know that his claims, Lord, we know, some of us know that they are true. And for those here today who yet to believe them, that you through your Holy Spirit would move them to know Christ as God in flesh, 100% man, 100% God, who came to obey you perfectly so that he could be the spotless, blameless, sinless Lamb to take upon him our sin. And Father, we thank you also for the Holy Spirit that moves us to receive this truth and to become more like him. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with a hymn.